You are listening to Through the Stage Door at the Majestic Theater on WMNH 95.3. We're a biweekly program that celebrates what's happening on stage at the Majestic Theater, as well as the musical sounds coming from the Ted Herbert Music School. My name is Robert Dine. I'm the Artistic Director of Majestic Theater and the Administrator for Ted Herbert's. And in the studio today, we have cast members from our upcoming production of the comedy, The Man Who Came to Dinner. Welcome to Eli.
Thank you.
And Jane.
Hi.
And Phil.
Thank you.
And Glenn.
Hello.
I'm not going to say last names because I know I'm going to mess up Phil's, so I'm just not going to say last names. The Man Who Came to Dinner is playing at our studio theater on Page Street, 880 Page Street, June 14th through the 23rd. So if you're hearing this program the week after we record it, guess what? You're not going to miss it because this is a two-weekend show. You can get tickets at the door. It is a general seating show, but obviously it's a small theater, so you want to try and get tickets in advance if you can. You can get tickets by calling us, 669-7469, or visit us on the web at www.majestictheater.net. So I always have to make sure I throw out a couple quick things of what's happening. So obviously we have Man Who Came to Dinner. Check out our website. We've got Jekyll and Hyde the Musical happening in July. Great, great, great show, great cast. And we also have the Rockin' Daddios, which is a doo-wop group coming in August. And they are a tremendous amount of fun. They're direct off of their gig at Mohegan Sun. So get tickets for those shows as well. But we're going to spend all our time today talking with these really funny people in front of me. Notice how I didn't say funny-looking people. I'm not funny, but I play funny on stage. So let's start. Who wants to start? Tell us a little bit about yourself, the character you play, what you've done. Who wants to start?
I'll jump in.
All right, get real close. Let's do it.
Yeah, this is Glenn, and I am going to be playing Beverly Carlton in the show. And he is a sophisticated British playwright, singer, writer, actor type, which the playwrights of The Man Who Came to Dinner based on their good friend Noel Coward.
You do the accent really well, too.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Is it natural? You've been practicing? Or?
Well, I grew up in England.
Oh, okay. That would be why.
But I spent my entire adult life in the U.S. We moved when I was 16 to the Washington, D.C. area, and I lived there for 28 years before moving up to New Hampshire 3 years ago.
Have you done anything in New Hampshire yet before this show, or what have you been working on?
I have. I was in a production of Death Trap at Garrison Players in Rollinsford.
Good. I love that
and
theater.
Yes, it's lovely. And The Shadow Box, also at Garrison. That was last year. And a show called Calendar Girls.
Oh, was it in Concord?
No, that was again in Garrison.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got to play the photographer in that show. And upcoming, I'm directing Becky's New Car.
At Garrison. Yeah, and if you haven't, and I always say people are like, oh, you talk about the theaters. Of course I do, because you know what? We all do great stuff, and you should definitely get out and see different shows at different places. Garrison Players in Rawlingsford, great, great little theater. Been to a couple shows there over the years, and always just great, great fun. Great local community theater, which is great. Phil, tell us about yourself.
Hi. Well, this is my first show at the Majestic Theater. In 2014, I semi-retired after working 12 hours a day for over 25 years.
Doing?
I was a custodian for the Haverhill school system.
Okay.
So I decided that this theater is something I've always wanted to do, but because of my past schedule, I couldn't do it. I've done some things in the past through my church, but finally I was able to audition and get parts. I've also done a few shows. Well, my character, first of all, is... Mr. Stanley, Ernest Stanley, it's his house that Mr. Whiteside finds himself stranded in, so to speak. And Mr. Stanley is a businessman. He's very, very upset because he's totally lost control of his house by this Whiteside coming in. And Whiteside has all these characters and creatures flowing through his house, and Stanley cannot abide by it. So they're always butting heads, so to speak. And finally... Stanley thinks that he has the better of him, but you'll have to come see the play.
Yeah, no spoilers. So let me talk real quick about the plot of the show. So The Man Who Came to Dinner, portly Sheridan Whiteside, critic, lecturer, wit, radio orator, intimate friend of the great and near great, met his Waterloo in the shape of a small piece of ice on the doorstep of Mr. and Mrs. Ernest W. Stanley of Mazalia, Ohio, while trekking across the country on his annual lecture tours. Result? The idol of the airwaves rests until further notice in the home of the surprised Mr. and Mrs. Stanley. Possibility? Christmas may be postponed this year, so runs the lead article in the Christmas 1939 issue of Time magazine. Whiteside turns the Stanley household upside down, forcing everyone in town to cater to his egotistical demands. Ooh. But there's also a romance. Jane, tell us a little about yourself, your character, maybe a little about this romance.
Oh, Rob, I'd love to. Thanks. So, yes, I play Maggie, and Maggie is the right-hand girl, Girl Friday secretary to this Mr. Whiteside. And she finds herself stranded at the Stanley house as well, and a young newspaper man from Massalia, Ohio, comes to visit and interview Mr. Whiteside. His name is Bert Jefferson, and Maggie and Bert have kind of a few words in the beginning, but then by the second scene of Act One, she's completely smitten with him and convinced that she's in love and wants to stay in Massalia and leave Mr. Whiteside after 10 years of service to him. So.
Wow, so there has to be a little bit of chemistry with your Bert Jefferson. Is that hard?
It's not.
We're all laughing.
It's
tell
not.
Us,
that's
tell
a planted question, Rob. But the character, Bert Jefferson, is being played by my real-life husband, Don LaDuc. We did the show 6 years ago at another theater, and that's how we met. We played the same characters, so this is really something very special and near and dear to us.
See, so. I didn't realize you guys met during that show.
We did.
And we can say it was at the Letty Center 6 years ago, and I played Beverly, actually, in that show.
Yes, you did.
That was the first show I had done at Letty in a long time, and we had met, though, before through Michael's reviews.
We had.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that's where you guys met, though.
It is.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, Eli, can you top that?
Probably not.
Eli, tell us a little bit about yourself, your character, all that fun stuff.
Certainly. Hi, my name is Eli, in case you didn't catch that before. So I'm playing Richard. I'm Phil's son, not Phil's son in real life. He's a great guy, though.
thanks. I paid him the same.
Thanks, right.
Thanks, son.
He's passing the check now. Richard, he's a bit under the heel of his father because he has an adventurous heart. He has a love for art, for taking pictures, and his father doesn't really share that. He kind of wants him to follow in his own footsteps. Richard doesn't really want to do that. But he's so timid, and he only gets a little brave, or so he might, if he comes see the show. I don't know.
Well, we don't want to give any spoilers.
That's right. Mr.
So,
Whiteside.
So The Man Who Came to Dinner has a lot. And one of the reasons why I picked this show, and I'll tell you, it's always interesting picking shows for the studio stage and the dinner theater stage because, especially at the time, the studio stage was only 25 by 13. We've since added a few feet onto that, but we want to try and pick shows that have a good size cast and but not all on stage at the same time. So that's why The Man Who Came Dinner has a bunch of different. Can anyone talk about any of these little characters? Maybe their favorite? Are there any? And obviously, your characters are the most favorite in the whole show. But other characters that come into the house that kind of shake things up a little bit?
Having done this before and doing it a second time, it's fun to see different people play different characters. But the one that always kind of grabs me is Harriet Stanley. She is the sister of Mr. Stanley. And she makes a lot of cameos throughout the show. And there's a little bit of a surprise at the end about who she really is. But she's very quirky. She's very flowy and breathy, and she interacts with Mr. Whiteside, only really Mr. Whiteside, and it's just kind of some nice light comic relief from some of the more serious. It basically is a comedy, but there are some serious moments, and she kind of brings some levity to those serious moments.
And I have to say, Melanie Rodriguez is playing that. I like to say that because I never say her last name correctly. So sorry, Melanie, I once again messed up your last name. Melanie Rodriguez. Just come to the show. Other characters, obviously, we've got Professor Metz. Does anyone want to talk about? Who wants to talk about Professor Metz? What does Professor Metz do? She brings some little creatures, right?
Cockroaches.
Yeah, cockroaches. How many? Isn't it like 10,000 or something?
10,000.
And they are not real cockroaches, just, you know, but due to stage magic, they will look like they're real. But I can guarantee you we do not have live cockroaches in at the Majestic Theater. So obviously, this is a cast of like 20 people. It's a pretty insane cast. We had to kind of change gears on directors with this one unexpectedly. And Kelsey Dominey stepped in as director. And, you know, and Kelsey, I think we had a lot of people come because Kelsey is a director people like working for. Can you guys talk a little bit about the process with Kelsey? I know she runs a process a little different, maybe different from what you were used to, Jane.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Has anyone worked on a show with Kelsey before?
No.
No, none
I've
of you have.
I've just acted with her before.
Oh, you've acted with her. At, what did you do with her?
That was You Can't Take It With You.
Okay.
Off Broadway.
Oh, all right.
Coffin and Hart.
Which is also Hart and Coffin, too.
Yeah,
wow, you're stuck on Hart. But tell me a little about the process, because I mean it's a big cast, but I would imagine this. It's interesting in that you guys don't. There's certain cast members you never appear on stage with,
right?
Like
sure.
Beverly, you're only on stage
with
Lorraine.
No.
With
Maggie,
and
Whiteside.
And Kelsey's style is one that I like a lot. There are some directors which tell actors to stand there, sit there, stand over there, walk over there, don't do that, do this.
And say it this way.
Exactly. Kelsey lets you find the character and lets you decide where that character is going to move to and what moves that character. And that's a really good attribute to have in a director.
So she's really not micromanaging you guys as actors. She's saying, bring to the table what you can bring to the table. How is that different than passings that you guys have had? Experiences you've had.
I just echo Glenn's sentiment. It's so freeing as an actor to be trusted by your director, and she really brought us together the first week and a half of rehearsal and said, let's explore your character, not only your character, but let's explore the relationship between your character and the people you interact with. And that I've really found has helped me. You know, there are lines, again, I've done this show before, but there are lines that I'm attacking in a totally different way because I have a new kind of insight on the character's feelings and motivations. So that's been really great. She's been wonderful.
Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, one thing that I really enjoy working with Kelsey on is that she's extremely upbeat.
Yeah.
And she's very encouraging. And she really makes you feel comfortable in your character. I mean, obviously, she's a director, so she's going to have some input in different things. But a lot of the directors I've worked with before, they kind of leave it up to you somewhat. But she's, I don't know, she just makes you feel extremely comfortable in your role. And like I said, she's always, I mean, she's just told us last night how much she loves the cast.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's a great, you know, because of that, it's going to be a great show.
Director feedback's important because, I mean, we've all worked with different directors. And, you know, and each director has its own style. As a director, I have my own style. But, you know, I think that as an actor, it's very hard sometimes because you want to get that feedback. And sometimes you don't get any feedback. They were like, oh, I just love everything you're doing. And you're kind of like, well, there must be something you can give me that's, you know. And then there's other directors that every time you move, they're like, oh, nope, don't do that, don't do that. And then it stifles, it really stifles you as an actor to be able to kind of just experiment and all that. The other thing, too, with this is it's been a short process, too. It's been a very short process. Normally, we put a show together in 8 weeks plus, and this was a six-week process. But the cast being so big, do you guys all know each other? Or are there people you're still getting to know?
Have barely spoken to, but I mean, I think we all know each other now, and
okay.
I think during the run, it'll be a nice time for us to get to know each other while we're sitting backstage.
I was gonna say when you're in your two small green rooms
and our two small dressing rooms getting ready. But and some of us knew each other coming into it, so there's another woman, Carol Bilodeau, who also came from Letty Center. She's playing Sarah, so she and Don and I knew each other. From Letty, and then other people knew each other from other theaters. So that's what's great about our theater community is it's really small communities within one larger community that all comes together.
One of the characters that I wanted to talk about is that plays Banjo.
Oh, yes, Justin.
Yes.
And Banjo, when he comes on, I see him as a cross between Jerry Lewis and Arnold Stang. I don't know. The audience is familiar with Arnold Stang.
I know the first one.
You're right. He's kind of a personality from from the late 50s, early 60s. But I guess he's involved in improv because when he comes out, it's always something a little you really never know what he's going to do. So you kind of sit back, okay.
And that's kind of the character of Banjo, though, too. You never know quite what Banjo is going to come out with this time.
Exactly.
Speaking of Banjo, the writers of the play, George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart, based the major characters on people that they knew in real life. So
that is correct.
So Banjo is based on Harpo Marx, who ironically was the Marx brother who never really spoke much, but in real life apparently was a real eccentric chatterbox, and that's what Justin brings out in that role. And like I said earlier, my character is based on the real Noel Coward. And of course, the man in the wheelchair, Sheridan Whiteside, is based on
Alexander Wolcott,
who was their good friend. Yeah. And they got the premise of the play when they invited Alexander to their house. And he unexpectedly had to stay 2 days. And that was the inspiration for the play. And
I actually have it right here. It says, Hart remembered a time when he invited Wolcott. And Wolcott made a surprise visit to Hart's Bucks County estate. He commandeers Hart's own bedroom, demanded the heat be turned off, and requested a chocolate malted in a chocolate cake. The next morning after, loudly execrating, I said that wrong, the household staff for incompetence and dishonesty, Wolcott wrote in the guest book, I wish to say on my first visit to Moss Hart's house, I had one of the most unpleasant evenings I can ever recall having spent. Hart wondered out loudly what would happen if he made this into a play.
There you go.
So glad he did.
It's so Eli, you've done The Man You Can't Take It With You, which is also Hart and Kaufman. And just so you know, guys, I don't give them these questions before. So, but how are they similar? How are they different? I mean, I would imagine that the characters, lots of zany characters in both shows.
Oh yes, definitely zany characters. I'm thinking of the character I played in You Can't Take It With You is Mr. DePinna. He's a crazy old guy who's making fireworks in the basement, sets a house on fire.
How does that compare to what you're playing now?
that's quite different. Richard is very he's very timid, very on the inside. Yeah.
Very cool. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Through the Stage Door at the Majestic Theater on WMNH 95.3. We're talking with cast members from the upcoming production, The Man Who Came to Dinner, a comedy happening at the Majestic Studio Theater, 880 Page Street in Manchester, Friday, June 14th through Sunday, June 23rd. For tickets, you can call us at 669-7469 or get them on the web at www.majestictheater.net. And we have cast members here from the show, and this has been a great conversation so far. So who have we not mentioned within the show, the exciting moments? Do you have a favorite moment in the show, anybody?
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine has a few exciting moments, doesn't she? Lorraine...
No spoilers, though.
Don't give it away. But Lorraine shows up to kind of put a kink in the romance of Maggie and Bert. And she's kind of that Hollywood starlet, not too bright, if I can say that, but good, dear friends with Mr. Whiteside.
And knows what she's doing.
And, yeah, she definitely has ulterior motives. So she has some fun moments. Who else? Who am I missing?
Well, without giving a spoiler, there's a moment towards the end of Act 1 or Act 2 that involves some animals.
Oh, yes.
That is a great moment in the play for me. I always find that moment very enjoyable.
I love that one, too.
So you definitely have a bunch of zany characters. We were talking downstairs before we came out of how with this play, and Phil, you said everybody has their moment. And can you talk a little bit about that as far as, because obviously there's not, you know, these the parts in the show, they're except for like a couple of the lead roles, the parts aren't huge. They really aren't. But people get their scene, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the show, after watching it, it's going to be hard for somebody to say, oh, that person was better, because they're so equal. I mean, they're just so outstanding in their own way. The characters, as we talked about, just they have their special moments, and not that they're overriding anybody, but they really add to the show. And I think as they come on stage, people in the audience are going to be sitting there going, well, what's this person going to do now?
Who's going to walk through the door next?
Right, exactly.
So we have one character we haven't talked about yet is Sheridan Whiteside. I can speak when we did the Letty show, our Whiteside had to leave the show, sadly, because of a health issue. But I'll tell you, when I picked this show, one of the first things that I got scared about was, if we don't get a good Whiteside, we're sunk. The show's sunk right away. And we got Ray Dudley.
Amazing.
Who's amazing. Can we talk a little bit about Whiteside, Ray Dudley, your interactions with him, either as a character or offstage? Ray Dudley has a long resume of many shows. I worked with Ray many, many years ago when I directed Titanic, the musical for the Community Players of Concord. He played Captain Smith, and it was one of my best moments in theater ever. Just amazing. And I always tell, and he probably won't like that I say this, but if you ever see the Al Terry Plumbing commercials, then he's obviously the guy in that. Not the crazy guy, but the sane guy. So you'll recognize him if you see those commercials. But he's done quite a bit. Can you anybody talk about Whiteside as a character or Ray playing that character? He has a lot of lines.
He has a ton of lines.
Yeah.
It's amazing. When I saw the part, I was like, are you kidding me? And that's a lot of lines. But Ray, he has a lot of emotions sitting in that chair. You know, it's kind of a hard role because he's not moving around on stage other than in this wheelchair. And mm-hmm. he has a lot of emotions from hilarity to being a pain in the neck. my character, Mr. Stanley, he just hates this guy. Even though he's famous, he's a distinguished man of letters. Doesn't matter to him. You've come into my house and you totally upset... my control over my wife, my control over my son, and my control over my daughter. Get out.
That's great, though.
Wow.
Not to mention he commandeers your telephone and your front door.
Everything.
The interesting thing for me about Sheridan Whiteside has always been that as grouchy as he can be, the actor playing the character has to have another side. Otherwise, we get 3 hours, or not 3 hours, but a long, grouchy Sheridan Whiteside.
Someone shouting for a couple hours.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And Ray is excellent at, he could just move an eyebrow, and you know that he's gone from anger to, I have a plan, or this new information I can do this with. So Ray is a superb actor. I've really enjoyed getting to know him in this play. And you mentioned the Titanic, and he was telling me that he's going to be in that again coming up.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Up at Gene's Playhouse.
So he's reprising that role.
There's a new, smaller cast version of that show where they've basically rewrote the show. Because when I did it, I think we had a cast of like 70 people or some outrageous amount of people. And now they've rewritten the show for all the characters can be played by like 15 actors or 12 actors. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So I had heard that. I'm actually going to make sure I see it because I will say that Ray's done a lot of great things over the years, but I just still remember that moment. That was, 15 years ago now. How does Richard interact with Whiteside?
Oh,
because you're pretty timid, right?
That's right.
Okay.
But Whiteside at first to me is, or to Richard, is like he's an outsider, an outside force of like, adventure. It's something my dad isn't, and I'm really interested. I get kind of put off at first, but slowly kind of, chum up a bit. But I mean, you'll have to come to see what that looks like exactly.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Whiteside is he's one of those guys you want to hate because he's so pompous and self-righteous and self-centered and self-important. But the thing that Ray Dudley does beautifully is he is all that, but then you see at points and specific points, important points, where he truly is human. He truly does have feelings. And, that's what makes it so watchable. Like you want to hate him, but then at the end you find yourself rooting for him and loving him. So without giving anything away, he's just multifaceted.
And I will say, too, this show is a little longer than most of our shows. It is a classic show. And a lot of the classic shows, when you used to buy a ticket, and that's why shows like My Fair Lady and the music, all the Chestnut musicals, that used to be an afternoon. You used to go there and you'd spend an afternoon at the theater. And this play's like that. It was written, it rolled onto the Broadway on the Music Box Theater in 1939. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my notes here. Oh. Ran for 739 performances. and only was dwarfed because of... stuff happening in the world. That's why. Right. That's why it dwarfed. So it's an interesting. So it is a long show. It doesn't feel long though because of all the characters that come and go throughout this. We are doing it with two intermissions just because we feel that after an hour, if someone's sitting down, I don't care who you are, you got to just get up and stretch. So, but it'll be a great afternoon in the theater. Tickets are only $12 and $15. We keep them cheap because we want you to come. We want you to come and see the great work that these actors are doing. And we know that you'll definitely enjoy it. So as far as the show, so is there anything else that we haven't said about the show that we want to get in before we wrap up today?
Well, one of the things you just mentioned about the history of the show, I think in this show, practically every name is dropped that you could possibly, that was famous in 1939. I consider myself a history buff, but there's a lot of names in there I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it just covers it all, basically, you know. And of course, Whiteside is personal friends with just
all these people. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And that's a good thing too, and that's what I respect for Kelsey too, is that sometimes when you go see a show, a classic show like this, they feel the need to update everything. And I'll always remember a director that came to me and said, I'd like to direct a production of Bye Bye Birdie for you. And we're going to make the Birdie character into Eminem, the singer. To which I laughed at him completely. And I said, it's never going to fly with our audiences. And I went with a different director. But, you know, so I appreciate the fact that, you know, it is an older play. It's funny, but it's still relevant to today. And you'll still be able to relate to the characters without us updating the whole thing to the point where it becomes bad theater.
Right.
Right. Now, there's a song. We got to make sure we talk about the song real quick. Mm-hmm. You sing a song on the show written by Cole Porter. It was written especially for this show.
That's right.
So tell us a little about that. Are you a singer?
Allegedly.
Okay. No, because I've heard that you do a really nice job with it. I have not heard it yet. So.
Yes. Thank you, guys. I've done musical theater before, but nothing a cappella. And Beverly sings this thing with no accompaniment, but it's, like you said, Cole Porter wrote it especially for the original production, and it's been a lot of fun because trying to find a decent sort
There's
of...
There's not a lot of recordings.
I did find one that's about 50 years old, which I've been listening to, that person, when they were singing it, they introduced it as obviously a Cole Porter number, and they had a footnote with it which said that he wrote it based exactly on the way Noel Coward wrote songs. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different from what Cole Porter would normally do because it's imitating someone else.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm glad that you're doing it a cappella because when I did it at Letty, they gutted a baby grand piano. I feel like I killed a baby grand piano and they put a keyboard in it because I played and sang it. So I appreciate you doing it a cappella because I'm not sure I could gut our baby grand piano for you. I'd feel really guilty about that. So guys, this has been great. This has really been great to talk about this show. Please come and see the show, The Man Who Came to Dinner, happening June 14th through the 23rd at the Majestic Studio Theater, 880 Page Street. Tickets at 669-7469 or at www.majestictheater.net. Small theater, so get tickets in advance if you can. You'll be glad you came. It's a great cast of character, very talented people that are very much enjoying. You could tell by our conversation today what they're doing and how they're interacting with each other. So it makes it all worth why we even do this. Right, we do it because we work with great people and we have fun doing it. So thank you for bringing that spirit to this. Thank you to Glenn and Phil and Jane and Eli. I'm Robert Dion. Thank you so much for listening today. Remember, the world's a stage and music is the voice of the soul. We love what we do. Come and join us sometime so we can show you the great things that we're doing. Have a great day, and we'll see you at the theater.